You have just completed a grid, and on that grid, you have shown your behavior style preferences by priority. In other words, the way you behave probably most often in most situations first. It's, preferences are sort of like this. It's like left-handed or right-handed. You're either left-handed or right-handed. If you're right-handed, let's say, and I break your arm, that's your dominant arm. What happens? Do you die? No, you don't die. But things are a little harder, like washing your hair or getting dressed even becomes difficult at first. But what begins to happen over time? Let's say that your dominant arm is in a cast for, say, 6 weeks. What begins to happen with your left dominant arm, let's say your left arm, over that time? What begins to happen? Yeah, things get a little easier. In fact, you get pretty good at brushing your teeth, you know, with your left hand. That's the point. You have just identified your number one. That's your dominant style. And your one and two probably define you the most. What we want to look at is, how can we get better at, quote, our left hand or your number three and four? Because that's going to be the clue to how you can keep your sense of humor with folks that sometimes drive you crazy. I mean, don't tell me there's not somebody in your life that just sort of gets under your skin. Well, I know there is. But understand this. It's a unique get under your skin, just like yours is, because their personality styles are arranged uniquely for their strength bank, just like yours is. When you're displaying the good side of you, then you have great relationships. We have an open communication, good relationships. But when you're in the bad side, you know, there's a good side and a bad side of that behavior. What begins to happen is the people around us aren't working with us very clearly. We get frustrated, and what do? We end up taking home from work that frustration to the ones we love. You know, not a very good gift to bring home. Or we take it to the freeway, and it becomes road rage. So it's really critical that we understand what's happening in these workplace situations particularly. That's where I'm going to focus, because that's where you spend most of your time. Wouldn't you agree with me that you spend most of your time in the workplace as opposed to sitting down with your whole family? Of course. And understand that whatever you do about this issue, about getting relationships better working for you in the workplace, is what your customers will receive. You see, customer service is a mirror of how we are to each other inside the workplace. Let me say that again. Customer service, what customers get, is a mirror of how we are to each other. Think about that a minute. It behooves us to get on a better plane with the people we're around every day. Now, I want you to understand there are two basic choices you have in every situation. Even in the ones that you could identify right now, you could put them in your head and say, oh boy, oh, that person really, I mean, I just try to stay away from them. We just don't get along at all. Let me tell you something. You have made a choice there. There are two choices. You chip away at a relationship so it becomes worse, or you find a way to build it to a better place. When you're frustrated with someone, you are chipping. Now, I'm going to give you some song hints that help me know when I'm not in my good part, because sometimes I've got to have a way to replace the frustration with something else. Now, let me say this very, very clearly, and I may refer to it again. You cannot stop being frustrated. You cannot stop being angry. You can't just walk away from it's okay. Here's what you have to do for yourself and for the relationship that's going on. You have to replace the anger or frustration with something else. And this happens in your head. When I am getting frustrated in this situation, here's the little song that pops in my mind so that I know I'm chipping. And it goes like this. Chip, chip, you tell a little lie. Chip, chip, you make somebody cry. Chip, chip, you cheat a little bit. Chipping at the mountain of love. Da, 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 da. Well, you get the message. That dates me a little bit, but I remember hearing that way back when I was in junior high. And what it does, as I hope it did for you, is you just kind of giggle and go, huh? That's what I put in my head. And you pick something that will, you know, put in your head at a moment's notice to know when you're chipping. Because the other thing, when I know things are working and I've come back from the chipping, I'm building, I hear this song. Climb every mountain, search high and low, follow every rainbow, till you find a way to keep the humor in this relationship. You see, you're a part of what's going on. You say, no, 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 Sandra, that's not right. That's not right. There's a problem. Listen, if you are there, it's a relationship and you're part of it. Maybe 50-50. Yeah. Your part, whatever you're doing, is allowing them to continue that behavior, encouraging them to continue that behavior. See, what we need to work at is, what are we really giving out in that situation? You mean something I'm doing is a part of it? Absolutely. You need to come to that. So if you become less angry and frustrated, I guarantee you, at some level, they'll sense something different, and the relationship can just get a little better. Now, please understand me. I'm not talking magic here. I'm talking thinking, because these relationships end up contaminating all the other ones if they frustrate us to the point of where those little blood vessels, you know, in your neck are bulging, and you think about them all the way home. We don't want that. Now, here's a clue. I'm talking about the relationship that you're not comfortable laughing with them. Who is it that nothing they say is funny to you? See, that's a bad relationship. Well, I'll have to talk to him. No, no. You are there. You are alive. You are breathing in their presence. You are a part of what's going on, and it affects you, and it affects them. And you know what? It affects everybody else that happens to be in the presence of you two in that moment. Now, I don't mean laugh at them. I'm talking about, you know, you can just laugh. You know, you just laugh about the funny. It doesn't even have to be a joke. See, laughter and trust go hand in hand. The people you can't just share humor with are the people that you need to work on moving to a higher place if they'll go. Now, granted, this is your part, but you're here, you're listening. If you make changes, I guarantee it's going to pass something over to them, because what's happening here is a disconnect. Now, remember, let's go back. You have all four behavior styles. All four of them. Notice me. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now, the good news to that is, now hear me clearly, you can get along with virtually anyone at a higher level if you want to. Now, I'm talking about the motives of your heart, aren't I? Do you really want to have better relationships, or do you just want to find a way to get them? I hope the latter is not the case, because where we're going is, you can use your 1, 2, 3, 4 to get closer to their 1, 2, 3, 4, even if your ones aren't the same. You can get along with anyone. So the next time you say to someone, oh, well, we just have a personality conflict, I want you to understand what you're really saying. You're really saying, no, I don't really care enough to get along with them, because you can, because you have some of what they have. Everybody has these four styles, just in different measure. You've got to learn to use your number two and your number three just a little better. Now, as I do this, demonstrate these and do this exaggeration for you, you notice that we've used animals. And I just do that because I think it's more fun, and I think it lends itself to humor, and that's what we need to do, keep more humor in our lives. Laughter works. Humor is healing. And as I exaggerate these, I want you to try to think of someone it reminds you of, because the way I learned about my, quote, left hand, my number three and my number four, which are the stabilizer type St. Bernard and the owl. That's my three and four. How did I learn about those? I found someone in my life who that was their number one, and just observed them. Somebody I was around a lot. For example, the first one really was my mother. Let's look at the St. Bernard. That part of you. The way I got better with that part of me was to watch my mother. You see, the biggest need of a St. Bernard is to be considered a team player, to be liked. When that part of you is good, you are helpful, you're doing for others, like a St. Bernard, you know, just, what can I do for you? They see that tail wagging, you know, and you always see that barrel under their neck, just ready to give you something, whatever it is you need. Now, as we go through these, I'm going to take one phrase, it takes too long, and show you how each part of you would say it, all right? So, for example, here's how the St. Bernard in you, on its good behavior, would say, it takes too long. Notice the St. Bernard on your grid there, even pace, people first, task second. So anything they say or do is going to have a people focus first and then a task focus, and it's going to be very even. So they would probably say, it takes too long, something like this. Well, I'm really enjoying what you're saying. It's really been a delightful session. Is it okay if I mentioned that maybe just in a few places it could move a little faster. Is it okay if I say that? Now, at that very moment, your response is either going to make that a working relationship or it's going to shove that St. Bernard personality back in the corner to whimper away, clam up, and never say anything to you again. Go with the way they presented it to you to get things going. So, I would say back, thank you for making that comment. Aren't you sweet to give me feedback? Do you see what I did? I focused on their need to be liked. Their people need first. Then I say, you may be right. Where would you think we could speed up the seminar? And you know what? Then you have a St. Bernard who will talk to you. You don't have one in the corner, not willing to say anything. Because to a St. Bernard, if you don't come at them, they're very sensitive. And if you've ever had a St. Bernard, in fact, a friend of mine the other day said, she has a St. Bernard. She says, you know, she just seems to get her feelings hurt. They really do. You see, you don't want the St. Bernard to tuck their tail between your legs and never talk, but just smile at you and say yes. You know what, that kind of person that just smiles at you and says yes, they have no intention of doing it, but just to stop the conflict? Because their biggest fear is that there will be conflict. That's their biggest fear. So whatever it takes. Now, how can you keep from getting frustrated with them? Why do you have to do it? Well, I don't want to be that nice. That's not my style. Well, it's not mine either. But here's what I've learned: to hear the little songs they're really singing to me. And again, this just helps me see them in a humorous framework. Because when my mother gets in her St. Bernard, and I'm just going, oh, Mother, would you just talk? Why do I have to, you know, come at you with people? Can't we just focus on the task first? I hear her singing. Feelings, oh, 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 feelings. Or the other one, people, people who need people are the luckiest people in the world. And that's Mom. So every time I run into a St. Bernard, I just remember that's the song they're singing. If I can just reach them there at the first part of the conversation, then we can relax and I can probably be more of myself. See, I'm not saying you change your personality. I'm saying you grow it. You use your number 3 and 4. Right now, they've become dormant, okay? And they're not, and you run into people that have a number 1 St. Bernard. So if you don't know how to reach them their way, that's 25% of the people you meet don't have a chance at a good relationship with you. That's where we're going. Now let's look at the second one there, still on the people-focused side, the chimpanzee. This is the seeker-influenced part of you. The biggest need for a chimpanzee is to get noticed. And you notice the chimpanzee's fast-paced, people-focused first, and task-focused last. So the same focuses as the St. Bernard, but the pace is a little different, and the view's a little different. The chimpanzee part of you is the part of you that loves to tell stories. Hey, how you doing? It's a great day for singing the blues, and it's a great day, and they break into song, and they're entertainers, basically. When you're in your good side, you're the life of the party, you're fun to be around, and you'd probably say, it takes too long this way. Well, Grandma was slow, but she was old. How long is this going to take? Now, you may be going, oh, I know who that is. They just drive me crazy. They tell me these jokes that aren't funny. Let me share with you. Even if you don't think it's funny, you better make a sound. The chimpanzee needs to hear a sound that says, I've been noticed. So at least go, even if it isn't funny. So I want you to practice. On the count of three, I want you to go, just so you know you can do it. 1, 2, 3, and look them in the eye. That tells them they're noticed. You look them in the eyes, make a sound. Even now, if you laugh, that's even better, but sometimes it isn't funny, okay? But they need to know they've been heard, because their biggest fear is being ignored. You know, when they say something and they're just right, you're saying, chatter, you just want to say, shut up. Or you roll your eyes at their stupid humor and walk away, and then they follow you. You know what I'm saying? They follow you. Oh, wait, I got another one. Wait till you hear this one. This one will really get you. And it's not any better than the last one. All you're doing is pushing them further and further to the bad. So you've got to pull from your chimpanzee, make a sound, say, oh, now, I see what you did. I mean, even if it's not funny, you can say that. They need that people part first, just like the St. Bernard does, but just a little different pace, a little different flavor. And see, when you get frustrated with them, you think, why can't they just shut up? Remember, this is the song they're singing. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. Gonna chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready for the judgment day. Or, celebrate, celebrate, dance to the music. There's kind of a bounce to the chimpanzee part of you. You're always kind of moving, if that's a big part of you. You're one or you're two. Now, let's look at the task-focused personality. All this means is we're switching focuses. The next two animals are the ones that just want to go to task first, and we'll do the hi, how are you, chatty Cathy kinds of things later. It's just a different priority. For example, the owl part of you. The biggest need for the owl part of you is that we get all the information and that we get it down correctly. And if it takes longer, then it's going to take longer. When you are in the good part of your owl, you are a great researcher. Your curiosity to find out all the nuances of things and the ways things could work is fascinating. You like to look behind, take things apart and see how they worked, and maybe put them back together to see how they could work better. When your owl is on its good behavior, here's how it might say it takes too long. Now remember, even-paced, just like the St. Bernard, but task-focused first and people-focused last. So here's the owl, task-focused first. You know, I've been looking at the amount of time it is taking to cover this material. Over the last 4.7 minutes, I have noticed that each module is about 6.9 seconds longer than the last one. Looking at the seminar agenda and counting the pages, it appears we will not be out of here until 8 o'clock this evening. I have an appointment at 6:15, so I'm concerned that this may be taking a bit too long. However, it is interesting. Now, did you hear that? Did you hear the detail? The deliberate speech. Now, if you get frustrated, now remember, I'm a number one. I don't think I've told you. I'm a number one chimpanzee. So this is my brother. I learned St. Bernard from my mother. Chimpanzee's my number one. I didn't have to learn that one, right? But the owl is my number four. And then I began to realize that one of the reasons my brother and I don't talk is because he keeps saying I interrupt him. Can you see that? How a chimpanzee would interrupt an owl? Here's what I learned. When I'm talking to someone that I recognize has a lot of owls, I talk because I need to talk, but not to interrupt. I say confirming detail about what they're saying. Now, you've heard in seminars say, No, that's not good enough for now. With an owl, you've got to say their detail as they talk. For example, as the owl was talking, I would have said, 6.9 seconds. The agenda, right. Oh, 8 o'clock. So that by the time we finish, the owl has already heard that I have heard the detail. Because you know what happens? If they don't think, if you just summarize at the end and just say, oh, that's interesting, but it's going to be okay. Absolutely inadequate, because what will they do? You're right. They'll go back, tell you the whole thing again, only with more detail. See, their need is that the detail be heard so we can get it right. And they want to, their biggest fear is that they're wrong. So if you don't hear it, they assume that you thought they were wrong. So I talk with the owl. So at the end, I would say, with all that detail, you're right, I would be concerned too. See, I'm honoring the detail first, and then I'm going to say, but you'll be happy to know, now I'm going to go to the people part, that all the modules are designed to be different lengths, and I have timed this out many times. You will have no problem making your 6:15 appointment. See, it's understanding whatever part of you, and when it's not working, when they get frustrated, when an owl's just going on and on and on, remember, here's the song they're singing. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, even though the sound of it can be somewhat atrocious. Or, doe, a deer, a female deer, ray, a drop of golden sun. Helps immensely. Actually, my brother and I can have full sentences now. It's an amazing thing. Now let's look at the Mustang, the troubleshooter dominant part of you. The Mustang needs action. That's the thing they need the most. And sometimes we misread that as being pushy or dominant or abrasive. It's just their basic need. I think the Mustang is probably more misunderstood, maybe, than the others. And I want you to think about facial expressions as you watch each of these, because the people-focused styles just have a tendency to look friendly. But the task-focused styles, the Allen, the Mustang, tend to have a somber look. But they're not mad. They're just task-focused. And I think the Owl and the Mustang can be misrepresented sometimes. When the Mustang part of you is good, you're a great team leader, you get things going, create a sense of energy and urgency. You know, you'll say things like, put a skip in your walk and a smile on your face. We're moving forward. That's the great part about the Mustang. They'd probably say, that part of you would say, it takes too long, maybe this way. Now remember, fast-paced, we're still task-focused, like the Owl, and people-focused last. So the Mustang would probably say, this is taking too long. Okay, John, you take part A, Jerry, you take part B, and Susie, you take part C. Okay, I'll give you 20 minutes, let's get it going. Be back here in 20 minutes and we'll talk it out. Now what's interesting about a response to a Mustang? Mustangs don't really care if it's necessarily right. See, they're not accuracy prone like the Owl part. And I'll say this too about the chimpanzee. The chimpanzee will do anything to get attention. They're not too worried about details either. Your St. Bernard and your Owl are going to be the ones worried about detail at some level. But your Mustang, really, if you just come back in their pace and say, hey, that's not the way we need to do it. I need Joe on part A. I need Melinda on part B. And I need Jonathan on part C. We only have 15 minutes to get back here and then we'll talk about it, okay? And you know what? The Mustang and them will go, okay, fine. As long as something's moving. Action, action. They want action. This part of you, however, it renders you sometimes insensitive. I remember my sister used to say, because I have number two Mustang, she used to say, oh, Sandra's just a cold heart. And in truth, sometimes I'd be so focused on getting something done that metaphorically I'd grab your arm and maybe even break it and say, come on, let's go. Oh, you broke your arm. Well, it'll heal. Let's go. We got something done, didn't we? You know, and they're not insensitive. They're just on a different beat. If you'll get with them, remember, when you see any one of these behaviors, they have the other ones too. If you'll match the one that's in front of you, your goal is that you can get to some of the other ones. So you want to get to center. What's the center? Look there in your grid. The center, good, assertive communication, where you can laugh easily with each other. Humor is such an antidote to anger. And in fact, when a Mustang really seems intimidating, and you feel like they're just going to, you know, crunch you, remember, here's what they're singing. Move them up, hit them up, hit them up, move them on, hit them up, rawhide. Cut them out, ride them in, let them out, cut them in, rawhide. Or, I did it my way. They're not arrogant any more than anybody else for the most part. It's a style. You have some of it too. Now, are you beginning to figure out something? Just giving you some words to say isn't good enough, is it? You see, I get real frustrated with customer service seminars, particularly for telephone groups, that I say, okay, when they say this, you say that. Here's the way you handle an objection. You know what? That just breaks relationships when you have a pat phrase. Think about your dating days. That's why lines don't work long term. Because they're not building a relationship. You're chipping away. You're not building unless you are trying to get closer to that person with their needs so that they feel heard, then they will hear you. See, it's reciprocal. What you give out, you get back. If you find a way to hear them more clearly with humor rather than anger, guess what? You're going to get a better relationship back. See, all of us have all four. Now, you say, yeah, but I don't have much. Now, wait a minute. Is there anyone listening that has not at some time just gone quiet when you could have spoken up? Sure. Isn't there someone, sometime, that you have yelled at someone? Uh-huh. Gotten lost in the detail of something? Like you want to talk about your new boyfriend, on and on and on, the rest of us are going ad nauseum. Or maybe you want to talk about your new car or your new electronic equipment until the rest of us are going, enough? Sure, yeah. Have any of you ever been physically impatient? Of course you have. Your four styles are alive and well. Are you willing to use all four of them? Because if you are saying, well, I just can't do this. I'm more comfortable in my number one. Hey, you can stay stuck all your life. And the relationships around you are going to give testimony to that. Because if you decide you can only do things one way, and they're just going to have to understand, you are eliminating three-fourths of the people in your life as being able to have good conversations and good relationships with you. It has a lot to do with how we're seen in the organization, what we're asked to do. See, you want to draw people to you, not repel them. When you walk away from somebody, I want you to know you repel them. They didn't repel you. You repel them because you didn't want to work at it. It reminds me of what we really need, more love than anger. And Jackie DeShannon had a wonderful song. I think it was maybe the late 60s, early 70s, but it's applicable here. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing that there's just too little of. What I'm saying to you is, lead out with love. Humor and love go hand in hand. You can work and live in better relationships. Sing with the animals, and they'll talk back to you in better relationships. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you visited our website? Well, that's too long. It's www.strengthbank.com, StrengthBank.com. See what we're up to. Look at new audios, videos, CDs, seminars, and find out when we'll be presenting seminars in your area. You can attend Strength Bank Live. There are fascinating things to know about using your God-designed Strength Bank to live in better and better relationships. Keep growing with us.